Hello, friends. Welcome back, Love Ninjas. This is Let's Dig Into That. Whoop. It's a call to connect. Here, it is our mission to remain honest and curious.
Yes.
To promote intentional connection through meaningful conversation. And today, I am here with my athlete with a mad beat, the resilient and brilliant, it's the one and only JT.
Woo! What's up, baby? How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Wonderful intro. And everybody, the person that just introed all of us, she is a jack of all trades and independent as all can be. We've covered that. However, did you know she loves deep with compassion while she wears every hat? It's Jordan, everybody!
That was good. I didn't know compassion and fashion and hats. Thank you. That was nice. We have covered that.
That was a strange rhyme, but it came together.
You are came a together. Poet. Somebody tells me that your skills will come up today. I just be the first to kick things off?
What's this meaningful conversation all about? Baby?
Right? No pressure on the meaning. We are just going to dig right on into it. Because you had personality as a young kiddo.
Yes.
You came out hot.
Uh-huh. And so, burnt, some would say.
That's right. Came out a little crispy.
Yeah.
And so if we were to take a minute and look back at younger JT, do you think that I hate to go, you are perfect in my eyes, but were
yeah,
there
right.
perhaps flaws that turned out to be gifts? And I know we've Ooh. Got some obvious ones, but I think that conversation is super, I'm curious to flesh it out a little bit on why are we squashing all these flaws when it couldn't be what makes us so awesome?
I love that. And we ended an episode talking about what if our grandfathers and our grandmothers told us about the mistakes they made opposed mm-hmm. to like all of their achievements and what that I am flawed deeply. We all are.
Truth telling time. I mean,
we've talked a lot about this one too, but I am a dyslexic, which has now been categorized in the neurodivergent category of people. And that was such a huge flaw in the eyes of other people.
That's a real challenge.
diagnose
and then help you along.
Right. And so the way that all of that unfolded for me was back in the day, aging myself a little bit, you called people on their home phone because no one had a cell phone.
Right. Yes.
And I was taught to be polite. So you always said, "Hello, Mrs. So-and-so. This is JT. I was wondering if I could please speak with Jake." And so I made this phone call to one of my friend's house, and the mom answers and goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, JT, Jake's over at Spencer's house. Let me give you the phone number over there." And I start trying to write it down on a piece of paper. And at this time, I'm in fourth grade.
Okay.
And
nine-ish.
And I didn't know my dad was looking over my shoulder.
Right. Okay.
And so he watches me not be able to write down the phone number that's being read to me on the phone.
What did you write?
What's that?
Were you going to get that number? Could you memorize it?
Yeah. What I would do is I knew how a phone number worked. And this was also before area codes.
Right, I only had
7-digit numbers. And usually if you're in a certain area, they all started the same. So I really only needed to remember the last four and I could always get the first three. And so all I wrote down was the last number.
Nailed it.
That's how I got there.
Yep.
But from that experience, what happened in my life is my dad went to the elementary school the next day and sat in the office
right.
until someone would evaluate me. And that's how I was deemed and categorized as a dyslexic. And that was a flaw in every adult's opinion in my entire life for that year. And it was a real big struggle for me to
They might have looked as a challenge. I'm sure there were some that we've heard, I think I've mentioned here, that one of my cousins with dyslexia, they were like, "Why didn't you fix this in third
right.
grade?" And you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Hold up the blame train, because that's so heartbreaking.
But even in that moment, my mom did something that I'll always remember, because she didn't see it as a flaw, as you said. She was like, "You have made it. You've been
look at this little wizard
achieving all of your
right?
grades and doing a great
That's a
job
superpower.
And figuring out how to make it happen." And she was the first person to sort of let me think about things. And I realized, yes, my brain works differently. Why is that a disadvantage? And I started thinking that way almost instantaneously.
She made acceptance a possibility.
My mom was like, "Wow, how have you been doing this? And I was like, well, I always sat next to the really smart kids that rose their hand all the time.
Those hand raisers.
I had these little tricks like, hey, that word looks like it's spelled funny. And they'd be like, oh, no, that's spelled right. I was like, oh, I thought it had an E in it. And then they'd read it for me.
They'd say it.
And boom, I know what that word is and I can put together the rest of the sentence.
Locked in.
And so she was like, wow, how you've been able to get this far in school not knowing how to read.
I am. It is. It's very resilient and, yeah, it's some superpower status to have that as a young kid. What? So you had the idea that, okay, there's a chance this might not brand me forever. But we all know that our parents, if we're lucky, they think we can do no wrong and we're all the best singers and should American Idol. I don't think I've ever made an American Idol reference. I don't think. That's a weird one. And so was it enough to be at that certain age, like your parents are your whole fourth grade? That's so cool. Do you remember, was there an outside teacher? Did somebody else, or did you said that everybody saw it as a flaw? And I'm like, oh my God, thank goodness for this one human. Was it just your family that said, you're going to be all right?
So my fourth grade teacher, once she had this information, she's still to this day my favorite teacher. Thank you, Beth Arnold.
Yay.
But what she did is she got parents of people in class to help me out. And they viewed it the same way. They were like, wow. Dyslexia, that just means you think different. It doesn't mean
neurodivergent.
It doesn't make you like most people were, this makes you stupid. This makes you slower. This makes you disadvantaged. But my fourth grade teacher, Beth Arnold, and then she brought in Mrs. Buffer and Mrs. Baird.
He's just proving a point that I don't remember names often. And so, yes.
Well,
yes,
again, yes. My brain works differently. I remember the weirdest things and don't remember important things often.
That's
but
okay.
They really
keeps things interesting.
They really showed that what I had been doing up until this point in my life was problem solving. Mm-hmm. To put it into basic terms, is I figured out how to solve problems.
Okay.
Without the assistance of others. It was all me trying to figure out how to get over this obstacle and not get found out.
Right. Don't get outed. Yes.
And there was certain adults in my life, and those three people who helped me and coached me along were people that were like, this is a gift that you think differently. Whoa. And I'm so impressed at your problem solving skills. That made it so incredible. The rest of my journey, I was able to frame it in a way. For instance, Mrs. Baird,
we'll have to have her on. Mrs. Baird, if you're listening, we'd love to have you.
We'll reach out. Some girl in my class's mom instantaneously was like, you know who?
Oh my gosh, we know Mrs. Baird, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Oh, okay, I'll text her.
Do you know who else was dyslexic? What she said to me?
Steve Martin.
Albert Einstein.
Oh, yes.
And she just listed off all these amazingly smart people in the eyes of society that had the same ailment in the
ailment, yes.
I don't know what else to call it, but
diagnosis,
but it was viewed as this problem. It was like, you have this and it's gonna.
Do you think it's trending right now to be dyslexic?
It is definitely.
It's so,
well, parents are like wanting their kids to get this diagnosis now.
It's true that, I mean, just you described such exceptional help that you had one-on-one opportunities for folks to not only notice, you know, be able to reframe the situation, you know, because it's the wiring of your brain, you're just who you are, and allowing the brainstorm, the pushing that limit of like, oh, let's see how we can use these powers.
Exactly.
Like, that kind of attention is really, really special in that situation.
I appreciate that very much, and just got to take a quick second. Miss Budwitt, Miss Murray, Miss D, these are all the reading teachers I had for the next 8 years. So they all deserve a shout out.
Yes. And then you went in, you got the eighth grade reading level in eighth grade.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing too. It's like the whole goal was let's get this kid up to reading level. And I worked my ass off. After school, I had to do extra reading classes and show up to my sports practices late, which was mortifying.
Yes, othering a little bit.
So I was so motivated that when I started high school, I wanted to be at grade level. And I achieved that goal. But what it meant for me was never again in my schooling career did anyone check back in. He got to eighth grade. We don't need to check that again.
I'm feeling like you got a lot of attention. And yeah.
But anyway, let's turn this on you a touch.
Good reader. I'm sorry. Excellent reader. I did fall into the system really beautifully. I am a achiever, performer. Yeah, I was valedictorian. I did summa cum laude and college.
The system of schooling the suited system, you.
Yeah, and so with that achievement, having all of that outside recognizing, I knew what I needed to get the attention that I wanted. And so there comes that, okay, now you're 18 and I have entrepreneurial skills, leadership, things like I'm a big,
sure.
We talked about fists of justice. I'll get loud and draw a crowd.
Coming in hot, yeah.
But I'm also, we discussed, very independent, very introverted and things like that. And so struggled to find myself at a point of if no one else is looking, huh? And so what really does fill me up? And so, no, I'm riddled with flaws if we want to dig into that. But I was just dang, you worked so hard. And I was just acting like an asshole, just tapping. But what a scary thing where you're just hitting your stride. And I'm nobody's going to hand me, a gold sticker on my paper anymore.
Right. And you mentioned the system. I think that I'm always going to hang on to that word and want to discuss it. Because what you just described, I think, is something that a lot of people fall into as young people. That 18 years old marker in our society here in America is challenging. And I've always framed it, and this is probably stolen by a professor or a teacher, so I don't want to take credit for it, but I've always framed it in a ladder. In school, when in American society, we start down this path, and I look at it as ladder rungs, and you climb this ladder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's narrow. A ladder isn't wide. It's just this big.
I got a visual on this.
You've got to climb up in each rung as you go up the grades. You start in kindergarten and we all finish senior year if we stay to the system's course.
Well, we have that younger than even the school with, growth metrics and developmental with babies and all the information on there. You're my baby's not rolling over.
Right.
She's not rolling or making the sounds that I think. And again, we don't have children. Disclaimer, speaking only from personal experience. But that has to be really intense to have those markers that you're sweating over your percentiles. And
well, it also trains you to stay inside the system. I'm going to climb this and I'm going to go to first grade and then I'm going to go to second grade and it's going to progress. And you learn that these are the things I need to achieve, and I get praise and I get credit and people look at me like I'm being successful by following this path. And then all of a sudden,
sheep, we're all sheep. Is that what you're saying?
Every ladder has an end.
And that's what you're feeling, the 18.
That's what I'm saying is I think our society tells us, if you don't know what you're doing at that stage, when that ladder hits its peak and you don't know what's next, you're flawed.
Oh, yeah. I think there is some
because all of a sudden you're on your own.
Commitment, some jumping in before you've, where it is what is, you have a curfew perhaps, and the next day you have to know your, career path for life.
Absolutely.
And so I know you're a fan of gap year and whatnot. I have to quickly go back to my experience just climbing along, looking cute on my ladder, just jumping rungs and touch, posing.
Getting those A's, getting those awards.
I think about kiddos that I might have gone to school with that had similar, we'll just use the example of your actual experience with struggling to read, that didn't get the attention or have the support once identified to go, now you're going to have to deal with this for a lifetime and not have. And that's where the ladder freaking terrifies me.
It is terrifying.
Oh no, nobody looked at this individual and said, so you can't read. Turns out, amazing painter. Turns out you rock at music. Turns out you are you are so courageous. You're going places, kid. I dare you to get in your own way.
Absolutely. How amazing would it be if our society was like, oh, wow, this person's got dyslexia, or we found out that they don't read well. My own personal experience is what I'll tie this to. I could read music before I could read. Before I could read words,
yes.
I understood music and it was symbols and it made sense to me. And I was able to piece that together. But what if our society saw, hey, you're flawed in this. Let's see what you're great at.
Right.
You know?
And it is tricky to have that I think it again, your mom being awesome and pointing out like, okay, so we've got this information, how we're going to make it work for us.
Yes.
Adapting to change, another throwback. But having somebody, I think this is, yeah, kind of, that is really important to me suddenly is like my quest in life. If you can take the time and see that, if I could be the validator of letting, you know, if I could notice in one kiddo, like, hey, that was awesome how I noticed you shared with not only your sister, but also this kid in line behind you, all in front of us before you got your ice cream. And like, you are, have you always done that? Mm-hmm. Like, and having, giving it, praising publicly, giving a little audience to that, where that kid, the confidence, and because you took it and ran. You had a lot of people on your team.
I did. I had a great team of people helping.
But
me.
You did take it. And so, but those seeds have to be planted. And that is, and we have so much power.
Yes.
In, yeah, where diagnosing, like I'm diagnosis, loudmouth, chatty, all that stuff. I'll take that. And that gets me in some trouble.
Chatty Kathy, you definitely like
Nobody calls me Kathy anymore. Stop. The comics, I don't know.
Gift of gab.
Yeah.
Gift of gab is definitely something that you have.
Lack of filter.
Do you look at that as a flaw?
It's got me in some trouble, of course, but not, I think that I struggle to be a great listener because I interrupt. I am thinking about my next thought. We've chatted a little bit. It gets me in trouble where I'm like, dang, I have closed windows on folks that I pride myself on being a great receiver and a good protector and holder of information. And I'm not super judgmental. I think my girlfriend tried to put me to the test when she came to visit recently. And yeah, I can't really get razzed up. And so when I fill in a pause in that sentence and they are shut down, I have moments passed. I kind of ruined it. And so I think that I opened my pie hole and have ruined some pretty, you know, prime moments, unfortunately.
Okay. So flip that on its head for me.
Okay.
And see,
I procrastinate a lot too.
And see if you can figure out where the strength in that could be. Does that make sense?
You undo it? No, I think the strength
I can definitely
is...
do it if you want me to, but go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah. I'll let you take my, yeah.
I think people I think people that have the gift of gab, yes, there can be inherent things that are a struggle, but at the same time, in our culture, in our society, people are too quiet. You're not afraid to speak your mind, give your opinion, and that is terrifying for a lot of people. It is a strength to be able to say how you feel. It's literally like how healing and connection happens.
My bravery works in very specific environments where I can be, I mentioned, a good leader, but I am a start small. And so I agree that there can be a lot of power in that, but I do have to, I think that my awareness as I've grown is what's really, so there's an opportunity. Like I'm learning to giftify, to strengthify. And yeah, because I think if people want to listen and hopefully I can learn to shush for a half minute and I can be that place like winning. That sounds like I've done like living a good life.
I think you see what I'm doing here though.
Should I start a podcast? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right. There you go. You. Now you're thinking. I would truly argue that every flaw that you have is just a mask for a strength that you want to cultivate.
Yeah, like I'm impulsive. I was thinking about that. And I'm like, impulsive is not always a good thing. It can be very fun to be near people who are impulsive. But we've talked about like, yeah, proposed you on the second date. I bought my house after not touring the inside. Both actually, the house before this, I wrote it off for sight unseen. Uh-huh. I have a knack for a big.
Those things worked out pretty well.
Yes, because I have I know my strength is figuring it the heck out.
There you go.
And so I try to, and maybe that does mean I'm a little safe sometimes, but I do think that I'm obviously I am a risk taker with home purchases and marriage proposals being on the line here. But I do think through and I'm like, the minute that prose section starts to like, dwarf the kind, I'm like, all right, I'm in. Like, it's just a really, my turnaround time. Because you say a lot
Your
to me.
Your brain
like,
works so fast.
You say, I'd really like to just have a conversation And my face goes, oh my God, all I need to know is Friday or Saturday, right. Friday or Saturday. And then he's usually, okay, maybe not usually, he's often right where he's like, hey, if we Friday chose to make that drive, that, you know, if we looked at the weather, Saturday's actually way better. And I'm like, oh, right, right, right. And so slowing down a bit where my impulsivity might not be.
A lot of times what I'm saying when I'm like, hey, I just want to have a conversation about it, it's because your brain works so fast that you've already come up with a solution to what I've brought to you. You know, like, hey, it's going to snow on Friday. Maybe we do the – but you're like, okay, scratch it. We're doing it next weekend. And I'm like, whoa. I was just saying it might snow.
He's not wrong that my brain works at, I don't know, I should come up, like people say, like pinball machine, but waiting for that sucker to roll down to the flappers, way too slow. Like I am like air hockey, like cracked out air hockey. And so it does where he sets, he's like, here's a tiny obstacle we might be presented with. And I'm like, boom, 18 solutions. Words are falling out of my mouth in half sentences.
Right. When I was looking like, maybe we should leave 15 minutes early. And you're like, next weekend. You know, and I'm like, no. I just want to have a conversation about it so we have a better plan.
Yeah. And again, I'm going to encourage us. I am great with conversations that involve one other activity for me. And that is the struggle with my listening again. That I'm like, if I can fold laundry and have a conversation about Friday or Saturday, or we can be walking some pet and loan the dishwasher, I'm great at it. So or driving a car. In the car is a great way to get me.
So flaw would be you struggle to listen. Strength would be you thrive at listening when you're doing other things. That's a strength. That's true. You know what I mean? Like,
I know. So, yep, you're welcome.
This episode of Let's Dig Into That is brought to you by
Welcome to the Game of Foibles.
Foibles!
Where your perceived flaws are the foundation for your power. To begin, draw a card. Maybe it's sensitive, abrasive, an ADHD diagnosis, or just plain stubborn. Then, hold on tight. You're not different. Don't feel othered. You're on your way to unexpected fulfillment. You might find fame, fortune, or become the next prime minister or mega pop star. How? The Game of Foibles takes you through life's twists and turns, showing how your quirks, whether it's dyslexia, being too much, or your particular flavor of super chatty neurodivergence, these are the keys to success. From finding meaningful careers to cultural distinction, the Game of Foibles is all about transforming weaknesses into your edge. Lack of focus with a crap attitude, that's your secret weapon, and we've got the playbook to prove it. So grab your cards and roll the dice with the Game of Foibles, where imperfection is your ticket to the top.
Wouldn't this game be cool? All right, baby, I was kind of letting you off the hook a little bit, but you asked me a great question about the people who played a pivotal role in me seeing this quote unquote flaw and turning it into a strength in my own mind. Tell me about the people in your life that had that experience, or maybe even just the life experiences that was like, I have this flaw.
When you shifted.
And when did that shift happen for you?
When did I acknowledge my superpowers? what comes to mind is like, I'm bossy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And so that was an easy one and very sensitive, like young, when you're like, oh, she's too bossy. Like I was teacher, I was boss. And so
you are too much.
Right. And so I'm trying to, exactly right.
People told you that.
Of course.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I'm so angry.
No, hold on. You have witnessed it. I'm so glad you used that phrase, because I was going to say, like, being extra or loud or, yeah, because I am, again, a positive energy. I'm not being...
Take up your space.
Mean and angry. Do you recall, were you with me boarding the plane when the flight attendant...
Yeah, I remember like, that. You need
okay,
to go ahead.
So, yeah, this is not necessarily bossy, but it's about being a lot. Yeah. And so I believe we were headed somewhere fun. Destination unknown.
Costa Rica. It wasn't
heading somewhere sad. We were not headed to a devastating event to sign paperwork or bury anyone. We were going somewhere probably pretty fun. And I board the plane and this flight attendant is like, I'm going to need you to come from here, raising that hand up high, down to about a here.
And so and brought it down to her hip.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I believe it was a he.
Oh, was it a he?
Yeah. I mean, it was a very adorable glassware where could have gone got away with, like, are you being funny or a little snarky? So I did not take it personally because, again, fun bussing hard. But I was like, oh, dang. Like, I see you're at a here. Let's high five. More the energy I'm looking for. So, but when did I decide
when did that shift happen for you? And just
being a lot is embarrassing and, like, talking too much.
No, it's not.
I interrupt and I talk fast. But no, when you're little, you just feel, I can't say anything. I have to pick my words and you are hiding. And I'm, again, I say this too much, but I'm funny and it's really hard to keep those in, like a sneeze. It's just trying to.
It's just you telling this story. It makes me pucker up my butt because it makes me so angry.
You're the only person that digs this besides our, you know, that's just not true. Thank you, Love Ninja.
Please don't tell your little girls that they're too much ever. When I witness that, it literally does make every muscle in my body just like compulsing them.
I think there's better word choice for even like you're being too loud or because, yeah, there's a volume concern in certain places. You know, you're having a family dinner, but I think there are much, hopefully, more positive ways to be like, I love that you're singing to us right now. Can we do your full performance where we can give you our full attention?
We got
to
get a bigger audience here.
Yeah, we got to do something. But yeah, it is so hard. I feel like my own little girl. It's like, oh, she's always the boss. And I'm sorry, but I got good plans, people. And so it's
just
not
get
a surprise.
In line. Come on.
Yeah, that I have worked only jobs where I was my own boss or had the title of manager in it.
And that makes sense to me.
Because I try, like, do I have issues with authority? I don't know, but I think I
never
like to
been
be,
in that situation.
I like to see eye to eye. I did not. Yeah, I was not in the military. It's very, very clear.
So this shift happened in your life when?
Right. And
where
so
you
I think
seeing
about
that as a strength.
I think that like my pride piece of my heart in a good way, maybe prideful is another flaw that I'm just going to own today. but I think about it's not Brad Pitt, but it, I mean, he's from Missouri. But when I saw that boy in Africa saying, he was there for health, and he was then made a comment about education and the affordability, I mean the unaffordability, the lack of access, yada, yada, but $16 for one 12 months meal, uniform, transportation.
$16.
Teacher, tuition.
For a whole year of school, all the stuff.
Yeah, for all the stuff. And again, that was the number one limiting factor of these kiddos getting in to the building, getting the education, getting the access, was not having that $16 for the year. And that again,
South Africa?
$16 and if you didn't have shoes, because again, your uniform was top and bottom. And when I visited, it was like, okay. And so Tawanda became my family's. I started a non-for-profit my junior year of college. I wanted to use my powers for good. It felt like bossing around in the right ways. I stinking loved it. We operated for over 10 years, made two visits to out Cape Town, and took women in my family, and they were so incredible. And saw the need on site, put their hearts out there and started an organization called Tawanda, which stands for, as we know, Templeton Women and Nieces Do Africa. Hilarious. But that's what they came up with because we love Tawanda moments.
Tawanda is, if you don't know what that is,
fried green tomatoes.
Please Google it. It's
Kathy Bates, another, you know, I can't wait for her to answer my interview calls.
So
she'll get back to me.
Brad Pitt.
So Brad Pitt is not necessarily, but he was. It came out of his mouth, and that was a really powerful moment. And I also had in that I sold, I had a little entrepreneurial shoe business at 15, and I met my mentors. They saw a little sparkle in my follow-up invoicing. I had some COD, and I needed cash on demand. I couldn't drive myself there.
Cash
my
on delivery.
My mom's waiting in the car.
If you don't
know I'm going to need
COD
some cash.
Is.
Oh, I did say on demand. Cash on delivery, exactly. And so they allowed me to flesh out and explore. I got to go to market and buy children's fashion with them. I got to learn how to do the business side, and I made big calls in purchasing, and they took my bossiness and say, bring your little sass in with us.
Yes.
And it was really, really great to have that type of support.
Parents, just if you're listening to this, just take this as if your little girl is full of sass and a little bossy, maybe she's going to be a CEO. Like, come on now.
Yes, embrace.
Encourage, embrace.
That is exactly right. Like, and noticing, again, the tiniest moments when you were like, you were so brave. I watched how you walked into that birthday party when I dropped you off, and you made sure to say hi to the birthday girl first, and then you said hi to everybody else, and that was so cool.
Yes.
You know, and you even said thank you to the mom without me even asking, and, the parents were there, and you acknowledged, you were
praise in public.
Yes.
When you have to give some bad news or maybe.
And then poison him quietly at home. I'm just
if you have to do some disciplining or doing some correction, private.
So
praise in public.
Right. And then,
And then if you have to criticize or correct.
Poke. Poke in private.
Poke in private. I like that.
Don't poke your private. I know that got weird quick. But no, thinking about this birthday party kid, I'm suddenly like, I do struggle walking, like it is a flaw that I'm not often brave, or I won't go to things because I can make a million excuses, like, the weather, or I'm doing X and Y tomorrow night, or I just saw so and so, and I can sweatpants, bra off, chill, phone down, and be in my own zone. But this little brave girl thanking everybody at the party. What could we learn from the children?
Oh, man.
Because you kind of had me going with this kid going, all right, I can spin that. I can spin this.
Kids are amazing. And I'm just saying.
You heard it. Yeah, I agree.
Someone who works with kids, the way that they see the world is without the tarnished judgment that we've all, just
there's hope
collected in our lives, lack of a better word. But they're see
bold,
things.
I think in that way. That
absolutely,
there's a boldness that comes out where it's just like, I really want to wear this, or I can't help myself. Do you remember you had one kiddo? We are respecting all HIPAA rules, I believe, but was feeling it, having a tough day, and just outside went puberty.
I do remember
and
that.
And I'm like, been
in the middle of a volleyball game, yeah.
And I'm like, that needed to come out. And that's not exactly a primo example, but I'm like, that fearlessness of before they are shut down by you're different, that's weird, that's too much, that's too little.
By judgment and people telling them that they can't. And a great example, you used excuses. You said that you're an excuse maker. If there's an event on the docket.
We've established I was a big fat liar for a very long time.
And you're not into it. You try to make an excuse like that to a kid. They start thinking very rationally and they're like, okay, so it's raining, but you're inside in your car. Are your tires good? Your tires are good. I don't get it.
Yeah.
That's how kids function. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love it.
Because they're holding us accountable of, you said we were going. What the hell? We can't control the rain. Please don't curse as much, children. Or do you.
But that's the best way I can sort of describe why I love the way a kid's brain works.
So your narrow ladder of the system, which again allows for exposure, where how do we learn what we like? Like in a perfect situation, we all would have no financial obligation of going into college, no metrics of a letter grade, but you got to explore what excited you and what, like, okay, so yada, 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 that's not a thing. We all have these metrics. So you suck at school, and that's not
which
your
happens,
venue.
Yeah.
What happens to those? How do we either differentiate and come up with more variety of interests, strengths? Like, you don't have to just be an athlete or a singer songwriter. Like, we were obsessed with, good old the pizza king of all time, Chris Bianco, who wants to become a master of, from down to the flour for the crust. And we've had some killer pizza. There's some rock stars out there. But this man's commitment to, we of course have watched something recently, but the classroom setting was not a fit.
No.
And the desire to belong was a massive need. And this kiddo worked his tushy off to find something and rock at it. And he found pizza because he couldn't play sports. And I know that we're
asthmatic,
now just plugging.
Yeah.
Asthmatic, couldn't play sports, but he had something friends needed. He had food. He had the warmth. He had the soda access.
And that's
he
how
made
he felt
the party. That's what I'm good at, making a party.
Exactly. He made the party. And guess what? He had that moment too. In Chris Bianco's story, he was wandering around and he walked into a deli. And the man who owned the deli taught him how to make little mozzarella balls. Mm-hmm. And that started his journey into being the best pizza maker in the world.
Let's go ahead and scope out. If you have strength, share. Maybe
exactly. That's
your role as an adult.
As a high school dropout at 17 years old, this deli guy was like, hey, you're really good at making this mozzarella.
Yep.
And now he's makes the best pizza in the world. Like, yes. That's all it takes. That's sort of the point that I think you're making of, if you're not good at one thing,
don't give up. We believe in you.
I guarantee you.
You've got other.
Your weakness in school means that maybe you have a creative mind or that you're an amazing chef. And I think culinary school is a wonderful example of like the next path into doing something creative and beautiful where you create. Mm-hmm. And so my answer to your question is creativity.
Right.
If you can just pick up something that's, you know, whether it's music, art.
And what makes you feel alive when you're doing it. But whether it, yeah, from nature, be your creativity doesn't have to be a massive canvas where you can get creative with your body movements. You can create with the music you're listening to, with, time of day you're waking up and just like, you know what, there's like a million eclipses this month and like planet
aligning,
and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, make that a weird thing you want to see or try to. I am so grateful it's hopefully cloudy I can't do that nonsense in the middle of the night.
Absolutely.
Those people are nuts.
And again, I don't want to talk to parents too much as a non-parent, but if your kid's struggling in the traditional things,
we think you're amazing.
Look to the creative arts and see what they could possibly thrive in. You know what I mean? There isn't one clear set path. And that's why I was talking about the narrow ladder of the system is there is these check marks and we get awarded and we are praised by following this one path that we are all supposed to do. It's limiting. Mm-hmm. It's not for everyone. If someone's struggling, figure out where you can sharpen
your
strength.
The top of your hill's the top of your ladder. No ladder. Keep climbing. It's kind of the moment there.
Absolutely. Find something you love.
I think there's a little bit, call me crazy, a little bit of hope, dare I say, a little bit of optimism maybe, that perhaps, I know this is a tricky time and place in the world to say this out loud, to dare to dream like I am, but that we are being more accepting. Like, think about, you were just saying every parent wants a diagnosis to know either how to help better or to get some funding. It's tricky. But that, where we aren't, do you think culturally we are maybe being more accepting to what we had previously or traditionally considered to be weaknesses or,
I would say yes and no. I really do think that American culture for a long time has really pushed towards perfection.
So,
and it's problematic.
That's tricky to change where
it is really, it is. And socially, I think we were on a path to be a much more accepting of differences, especially in the mind and creativity. And I do think with autism and the spectrum, there has been a lot of growth in understanding how amazing those minds are.
And lots of work to do, like integration and figuring out how much amazingness we have been discounting.
Yes.
And what we really could, a little bit of compassion, a little bit of education. We're working on it.
Well, there's no such thing as perfection, so quit trying to achieve it. And realize that there is so much amazing things going on that we discredit and have for a long time. And that's sort of the whole punchline of, I truly believe a flaw is just a mask for one of your greatest strengths.
So, I will say you are an incredible poet. Not something, and yes, you can do spoken word, but I've seen you actually write the words. And that's something you wouldn't necessarily, and I think there's probably some power in why was that a medium that might.
Yes, I struggled with writing. I love to write. It's my passion in this world.
Whether you can understand the hieroglyphics, I'm not saying that now, but
I love to tell a story and piece together and use words and I organize them differently, but I always struggled with grammar.
Punctuation, grammar,
specifically. And
that's a good call, freedom of the punctuation.
There is a term in poetry called enjambment, and it means that you just don't use, it's purposeful.
Freedom.
That you don't use punctuation to make sure this sentence or couple sentences reads in one quick way, because that's how you want the reader to read it. And so poetry uses grammar as a part of the language, as opposed to just a rule. And it made so much more sense to me. And in the way my mind works, poetry was a strength because I get to play with the words the way that I see them, as opposed to having to follow this outline. the hamburger paragraph of intro, three supporting arguments, and that stuff killed me. But then poetry came along and they're like, yeah, do whatever you want. And I was like, really?
I'm JT. I'll be staying here.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, because I see you functioning within the ladder, but you would not be using your hands and feet like a normal person. Like, and I, yeah, we don't use normal often, but that's the perfect image to be like, mm-hmm. He one arm skipping stuff. And so I think that is, yeah, how cool to find that. Because I mean, I am dying. Could I request any, if you're feeling rage pirated today or love ninjas out there, if you have a flaw or a weakness or something that we don't want to call it that, but if you have self-identified that
or turned, someone else has told you or that some, it's a problem.
That's absolutely true. Because yeah. Hopefully you have not, because you are perfect in every way, perfect as possible. So, but yes, if there was a something that was considered a hindrance or a possible limitation that you made rock your world or became your reason, your why, please, please. Please, pretty please, yes. Send us a note. I would love to share in this moment. So
it could be a comment on Instagram. You could go on our absolutely. Website. Anyway, you yeah. can send us an email to letsdigintothat@gmail.com. Please tell us. That would be amazing.
Yes. Sidewalk chalk and then some sort of a, yeah, Google Earth, you know, we can, however you want to get it to us. So, yeah, I think that, yeah, trusting your gut seems like something that we haven't said as much with. I'm like, man, leaning into what you love, because it's hard when you're like, man, my best buddy's great at math and this one's great at science. I'm not feeling anything. Gym class, not really. Art, sorta. It's just not in this building where my magic is happening. That's so hard.
It is hard.
And I just want to, yeah, mix it up. We want all the special and all the unique. I feel like my quest now is I'm going to admire out loud.
Admire out loud.
I stole that line because
I know you did, and I know who you stole it from.
Yes.
And that's awesome.
We have an amazing friend who I was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. That was really like the timing and the word choice just hit us with a joint compliment that felt so good. And I was like, over the top. And then the response was like, duh, admire out loud in a much more cute way. But that's how I took it. Yeah. Like, yes, be I love my that. Mission.
And trust your gut, just to go back yeah. to that for a quick second. When I think about that in terms of these inherent flaws,
if you don't think,
and I'm putting, I have air quotes going on for all of our listeners, for these flaws, if you trust your gut when someone's saying, hey, this is going to be a problem for you, and your gut's saying, no, it's not. Listen to your gut.
Right. I know. Again. This is not encouraging anyone to drop out of school at all, but it's true that if you have that, you're going on tour and your dream is to be on that stage and your band, the opportunity presented itself and your gut says yes, but the system says, better not. We are leaning toward. Do you? And so again, I'm a pro-con weigher, so I feel I am a practical impulse.
Renegades are the people that change the world. Renegades of funk.
Oh, we're going to need new swag. That's right. And a Rage Against the Machine shout out. I love it here.
It's not the people that stay on the straight line that make, you know, impact change. Just saying.
It's absolutely true. Yeah.
Well, I think this has been awesome. What a great topic. Good job, baby.
Thank you. I knew you were a little difficult weirdo.
It catered to my difficulties that I now view as strengths in my life.
But this is the time for us to rally together, to encourage each other, to stay hopeful, to celebrate that, yeah, not everybody is dealt the same hand, a fair hand. And that is not their fault.
We are all.
Nor does it need to be your flawed. Fix that. Yeah, let's make our flaws fabulous. I don't hate it. Come on. Fab flaws.
Agreed.
Renegades.
Your flaws are just masks to your greatest strengths.
Well, yeah. Shoot me an email. We will read them out loud if you want us to. Let me know. But I think this has been so wonderful.
Yes. Great topic.
Oh, bossy. Party of one right over here.
Can't read.
He told me again.
Best read dyslexic this side of the Mississippi. Come on.
Do you know which side of the Mississippi we're on?
West.
Okay, good deal. All right, you are better at geography than me, probably. All right, well, this was delightful.
You missed the joke. I didn't say right or left. I said west.
It is true. Yeah, he does have a small L written on one hand and a red. No, I'm just teasing.
Pretty funny tattoo, actually.
Left. It's left. Someone has it. Oh, yes.
Sure. All right, baby. Thank you, everyone, for listening. It means the world to us. I'm JT, everybody.
And I'm Bossy Jordan. Until next time.
Be brave, beautiful friends. Whoop, whoop.